Good morning, everyone, from Radio Entrepreneurs. I hope everyone's doing well, and I'm sitting in for the famous Jeffrey Davis, the regular host of the show today. I'm John Dustin from JED Insurance, and we're fortunate to have Rob DeMace of Sentinel Benefits with us this morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Rob, I'm good. It's great to have you on the show today. So, Rob, the show really focuses on entrepreneurs and business owners and how we can help them, but I thought we'd take a few minutes and just find out a little bit about Sentinel and how it started.
So Sentinel Benefits Group was founded going on 30 years ago. Actually, we'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary this March. It was founded by the Carnevale family, Anthony and his two sons, John and Jim. It was founded back in 1987 to basically provide employee benefit services to the small to mid-size employers.
Excellent. And Rob, when did you join the firm?
I joined in 1993, so I'm going on 24 years now. I was the lucky number 7th employee of the firm.
Wow, that's amazing. And tell us about some of the transitions. You've grown into other states, done some adding products. What sort of products does the firm offer?
So Sentinel is a full-service employee benefits provider. We do everything from retirement plan administration, compliance, record keeping, to investment advisory services. We have a robust fiduciary governance program that we offer to a lot of our employers. We do group insurance benefits, health, dental, life, disability. We also administer other types of health and welfare plans, such as flexible spending account plans, health reimbursement, HSA, COBRA, and so on. We've recently gotten into the benefits administration business as well to assist those small to mid-sized employers in managing a lot of the paperwork that's required as part of offering an employee benefit program.
Yeah, I think with government intervention and all the different plans and plan designs and premium changes, it's a maze. So it sounds like you offer almost a much broader one-stop shopping than if I just went to a regular health insurance broker.
Yeah, our goal is to take a more holistic approach to an employer's delivery of employee benefit plans. So with our health and wealth strategy, we try to look at what an employer is spending and how they're spending it to try to derive the best value for not just the employer, but the employees as well, with a heavy focus on the various tax advantage accounts so that we can maximize employees' value out of the actual insurance benefits or the retirement benefits that are being sponsored by their employer.
And it's amazing, these fiduciary changes and government health care changes, are they affecting firms at all levels or just the larger ones?
Well, there's a lot of news about the new fiduciary requirements that are going to come into place in April of this year. The reality is we've been positioned for this change since 2004. We've been practicing in a fiduciary environment going on 12-plus years at this point. So we don't feel it's going to be as impactful to us or our customers. In fact, it probably provides an opportunity to garner some business out there from other brokers, perhaps, that weren't providing the fiduciary level of services that we are. As far as healthcare reform, we're not going to go on what the future might look like, but obviously with our Massachusetts law back in the 2006-07 timeframe, we were well positioned to adapt to what Obamacare did in 2010. Felt like we were able to provide the kind of guidance that many of our plan sponsors were looking for, particularly in Massachusetts, but also we do business in many other states in the Northeast as well. And I think having a Massachusetts firm represent them was only a benefit at that point in time, because we were very familiar with a lot of the structure of the ultimate Affordable Care Act requirements and regulations.
So, Rob, roughly how many employees do you have now?
We're about 185 employees. Our main office is in Wakefield, Massachusetts, just a little north of Boston. Through a number of acquisitions, we've also have two New York offices, one out on Long Island in Melville, and we have a Manhattan office as well.
So it sounds like you've been managing the business. You've remained kind of flexible and still sort of entrepreneurial despite having a lot of size.
Yeah, we try to maintain that startup mentality, so to speak. We look back and, we've probably done a series of 12 to 14 different acquisitions over the last 20-some-odd years. However, from an entrepreneurial perspective, a lot of our employers or a lot of our clients have actually pushed us to bring on new services. Our COBRA administrative service was an example many, many years ago of a client needing a solution and challenging us to step up to assist them. And, you know, today we have a robust COBRA solution that we provide to many, many employers, some of which are very large.
What's your biggest challenge? Would you say it's employees, the laws? What for the firm itself, what's the biggest challenge?
I think for the biggest challenge is when you work in the institutional environment, it's being able to grow organically, number one. So from a business perspective, we're very sensitive to the fact that, you know, there's mergers and acquisitions that occur and whatnot. A lot of our business is really tied to employment growth, which right now is very strong. Other challenges that we look at a high level are, you know, a lot of the services that we offer are directly tied to the tax code. So when changes occur, it can have impacts to our overall business strategy, but we're fairly well diversified between retirement, health. We joke back in the 2008-2009 timeframe, you know, despite the number of layoffs, our COBRA department had one of their best years ever because of the amount of activity there. And so, you know, growing as an entrepreneur is one of the biggest challenges. We've been able to accomplish growth through a combination of both organic as well as acquisitions over the years. And then, again, the tax and regulatory environment obviously can be very impactful to us.
Quite impressive. And I actually have some firsthand experience in utilizing them, and I'd say their service is unprecedented. But from your perspective, are there any niche industries or things you look at, or are you a generalist? What sort of...
We don't really have any verticals, so to speak, but I think over the years, you know, I've been in business for 30 years, you do develop some verticals in some certain industries. So we do have a number of clients that, you know, maybe an architectural firm, maybe an investment practice. You know, we look at the economy in Greater Boston area, and it's largely driven by education, healthcare, and finance. So, you know, like any other business, we do tend to have a lot of focus in those three areas as well as some other verticals.
And you have a lot of talented folks over there. Is there? I know you have some sort of management training. What do you do to get the younger folks that are talented in the firm?
So we have a leadership development program. So historically, we've been hiring a couple of individuals anywhere from 2 to 5, often directly out of colleges and universities, and putting them through a leadership development program and exposing them to various departments within Sentinel. And after a 12 to 18 month stint, they generally get placed. We also have some other additional leadership opportunities for existing employees as well to assist them in their career development and growth.
Yeah, being in the sort of the financial service sector, attracting and retaining employees is so difficult. There's not a lot of training facilities now from the big companies, so I think you've done a great job with that. What do you see for 2017 without getting into any political discussions? Because Chris would love to jump in.
You know, I think from the employer perspective, some of the bigger challenges our employers are facing revolve around healthcare. Obviously, the cost of healthcare continues to increase. There's certainly a lot of uncertainty out there as far as what's going to be happening. You know, certainly access to finding qualified employees is an issue, particularly here in eastern Massachusetts with a, you know, fairly low unemployment rate, maybe near historic lows. So, you know, there might be an increased focus from a lot of employers on their employee benefit package as a attract and retain type of program. Whereas in, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I think a lot of employers were looking to try to generate some resources and provide some savings. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as the economy moves forward.
And as far as, you know, the interest rates and everything, has there been any speculation? You know, it's a funny thing. When the election occurred, everybody thought the bottom was going to fall out. And I think that was about a 6-hour window and everything shifted the other way. I mean, without speculating, do you have any sense of, you know, the investment market or?
So when you look at some of the fundamentals, I think a lot of the securities are priced at a fairly rich level. So, you know, from an investment perspective, I know that our folks are looking for some of the more value-oriented areas of the market, which can be hard to find. We are obviously looking at the Fed, who was going to raise the rates. I believe they advertised raising them four times in 2016 and ultimately raised them once.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see what the interest rate environment is going to, how it's going to play out. But again, more of a value slant, I believe, for the upcoming year from an investment perspective. Looking at some of the categories or the asset categories that have underperformed over the last several years might be a place where there might be some ability to squeeze out some gains. I do think that we all need to kind of reset our expectations as far as what to expect out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been particularly a challenge on the 401k side of our business, because I think participants have a number in their head that they need. And the reality is the ultimate success or failure or the outcome of their retirement is going to be largely based on how much they contribute, not necessarily market gains, albeit they are very important as well.
Yeah, and that 401k space, that's all we've been reading about, is the fiduciary rules. And what does Sentinel do to help somebody in that space, a commercial client, get the right platform? And what are some of the things you do?
Well, first off, we have an open architecture platform, so we don't sell product. We're able to basically put in any kind of investment option that an employer would want. We have a very robust fiduciary governance system. So when you look at the DOL regs, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure that the plan sponsor is doing what's right on behalf of their plan participants and has a consistent methodology to manage their retirement plan. So we're assisting the plan sponsors from that perspective. At the same time, we're working with the individual participants in the plans on their own financial planning. So we also, in addition to a lot of the corporate services we provide, we have a wealth management practice where we work with individuals in assisting them with their retirement goals and objectives.
Yeah, it's being out in the field. It's a funny phenomenon. A lot of times people will say, well, we don't get a lot of service, or conversely, the business owner says, geez, I couldn't even participate. But when you're meeting with the client, the catch is that the employees haven't been educated to even participate in the plan, so they do all that testing and it never works out.
Well, there's a lot of methodologies out there that I think sponsors are starting to engage in, things like automatic enrollment with automatic increases and whatnot that can help some of your highly paid employees maximize their deferrals. So we're using a lot of the tools that the feds have given us basically in plan design to do that. But at the same time, it's a bit of a ground war with participants. So we're face-to-face, one-on-one with plan participants, working with them, trying to educate them on what's available, what they need to do, and get them on the right track for their retirement.
So that sounds like a little above and beyond a normal product. So you actually go out, meet the people, meet the business owner, work with the employees in their physical space as opposed to doing everything electronic.
Yeah, I mean, we've got three generations in the workforce today, so we're very cognizant of how different people like to communicate and receive information. So, we don't think that human touch is ever going to evaporate entirely. There are some people that like to get it in different manners, and we're sensitive to that. But from a participant education perspective, we found the actual one-on-one meeting, quite honestly, generally tends to derive the best results for that plan participants, trying to call aside 20, 30 minutes a year basically to sit down with a professional to help them map their course has proved very beneficial for those employees, and many of them are very thankful that they do it and continue to do it year over year.
It's amazing with so many products. I was just thinking, if you're, you know, doing social media and other outreach as well as applications, managing all those products to different generations must be a very big technological challenge.
It is. I mean, that technology obviously is a big component of what we do. And, we've got a three-person marketing staff as well that's constantly working with our consultants and our advisors to make sure that the delivery is appropriate for the audience that we're trying to serve.
Very good. So it's a lot of, I would imagine, a lot of meetings and management and trying to get delivery of product to the right people.
At the right time.
Yeah, at the right time, and that's another challenge. Rob, if someone wanted to reach out to you and get to you, how would they find you?
Best place to find us is on the web. Obviously, if they go to sentinelgroup.com, you can find us. Feel free to walk into our office anytime in Wakefield. We're at 100 Quantapowhat, which is up in Wakefield, right on the beautiful Lake Quantapowhat. An open environment, and welcome any and all comers.
And a phone number?
Our phone number is direct dial for me. If you'd like to reach out to me personally, is 781-914-1223.
Great. Rob, this was a great segment. We greatly appreciate you coming to Radio Entrepreneurs. This is John Dustin, and later on, the segment can be viewed in various places, YouTube and Facebook, and it was great to have you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the time.